Well, good afternoon, and welcome to Local Education Matters. It's been a busy month for Putnam County Schools, a busy school year for the schools. Coronavirus has just jumped on all of us in one way or another, and my guests today are Corby King, the Director of Schools for Putnam County, and Melanie Bissell, the Student Services Supervisor for Putnam County Schools, and local expert in school coordinated health. So Melanie and Corby, welcome to both of you. Man, you look good. I'm surprised.
Thank you, Dr. Bell. You do. It's the mask. It's keeping us.
Okay. Well, we are just delighted to have you with us, and I know you guys have been putting in the extra hours and burning the midnight oil and praying and everything else. Boy, it's been
a lot of prayers right now.
been a tough time. So why don't you just start off our session by describing the sort of the current COVID-19 posture in Putnam County schools?
Sure. So, you know, we're like everyone in the community and in the across the state as far as education is concerned. Really watching our COVID numbers. COVID is still in our community. We know that. We're very aware that it's here. And as long as it's in the community, it's going to be in our schools. Our schools, again, are a reflection of what we see in the community. I feel like we've done very well. We are in the middle of our seventh week. Our students, our staff are doing a great job. They're masking. They're socially distancing when it's possible to do so. They're trying to be outside. They're trying to move around to at least slow down some of the close contact possibilities that would be there. And overall, you know, people are doing great. We are encouraged. You know, our numbers, you see our dashboard. You can log on to that at any time. Those are live numbers. They change by the hour, by the minute sometimes as nurses get new cases. And they're identified, and then we have to do the contact tracing, and students are placed in the quarantine. This afternoon, we're at 23 cases, positive cases in our school system. We started the day at, I think, 18, and so we've added a few, but then we'll have five or six that'll roll off this afternoon after three. So it changes, you know, as those who are coming out of quarantine change, that number will change. The important thing for us and what we're watching is for any clusters, any spread that is happening or taking place within our schools. And so far, at 6.5 weeks, we very fortunately, and I want to knock on wood somewhere, but we've not had that. We would expect that there would have been some cluster, some tracing that comes back to schools. We have identified 10 instances where there were positive cases that were next to each other, but in talking to those families, all but five feel like that they got nowhere they contracted the virus. It wasn't in school. There are five families who believe it is possible their student contracted the virus in school. So five out of the total positives that we have, and with what's in our community, we feel encouraged by that.
Yeah,
the measures we're taking are effective, and so we're not seeing clusters. We're not seeing outbreaks like that within the school. Most are still coming from homes. They're coming from youth groups. They're coming from travel. They're coming from some of the youth athletics. So we're seeing, you know, there are positive cases that are going to continue, and we're going to have that in the community. It's just that it's not spreading within the schools, and that's really important to us. So we feel encouraged by that. We're hoping to. Right now, it's a week-by-week thing for us. We're doing well.
Day by day.
Day by day. Yes. You know, we want to get to fall break, and then we'll come back, because this is not going to go away.
Right.
It's just how we learn to live with the situation. Teaching and learning in this environment is a challenge. Teachers wearing masks, students wearing masks, that is a challenge. There's a lot of things that are just different in the classroom, still trying to juggle remote and in-person learning, and then all of the quarantine students who are having that's the biggest challenge for us with this. The Department of Health, when we have a positive student in a classroom, everyone around that student within 6 feet within that class has to be sent home for 14 days. That's frustrating, because out of those quarantines, we've had close to 1,700 students now that have been placed into quarantine since the beginning of the year. And in talking to those families, there's not been any spread of the virus within them. So this is 1,700 students who have been sent home and have not contracted the virus, and they've missed out on 14 days, you know, that's 10 days of their education. That's a lot of school. And we have families now who are on their second round who've been just from unlucky sitting in the classroom. Yep. They came back for a day or two, and the person on the other side of them contracted the virus. They have to go home again. 28 days. And we're talking to the Department of Health daily. We're not getting a lot of it's just they're saying this is what you have to do. That's very frustrating to families. Yeah. It's frustrating to us. We know what that's doing educationally, but we're still working on that.
So. And you've got to stay within the health guidelines. I know it's just got to be frustrating, though, too.
Very much so. And for those families who are having to do the quarantine, it is extremely frustrating.
And they can go to remote learning of some type during that 14-day.
They do. It's similar to a homebound. It's a short term. They're still with their teachers. We're using Google Classroom. The students all know how to log in. We get a device to them. If they don't have one available, the students know how to log in. We're doing things to teach parents how to log in and do that. So the assignments are there, but it's still not like sitting in class. They're still missing, you know, that classroom instruction and the explanations from the teachers.
Yes.
In some cases, teachers are doing, Zooming and doing a little more of that than other teachers, those who are more comfortable doing so. But our teachers are doing a great job. I don't want to throw that on the ones who aren't, because we're asking teachers right now, Dr. Bell, to do two and three jobs.
They've never signed up for this.
No. They're teaching their in-person people, which is what they signed up for. Then they're teaching their remote students, many of them in the same class, which is a completely different skill set. It's just completely not like anything we've ever tried to do in education. Yeah. And then the quarantine students. So you've got a constant in and out of students who are in quarantine, in and out of their classes. So rearranging their classes, their seating charts that they have to map every day, all of the things they're having to do. I cannot brag on our teachers enough, but I'm also concerned for what this is doing to them, the toll it's taking.
Absolutely.
This is a challenging environment, but they're doing well.
We had Lisa Zagumny on from the College of Education.
Oh, wow.
And I asked her last week how this was going to change the way student teachers or teacher candidates are prepared, and clearly it will. Well, this is Local Matters, and we are talking to Corby King and Melanie Bissell. Melanie, the school nurses report to you or through your office,
that's correct.
And they've got to be under tremendous stress right now, too.
They are. I actually had a Zoom meeting with them today. We're trying to meet once a week just to answer questions and stay up on what the guidelines are. And they have questions every other day about, does this meet the criteria? Does it not meet the criteria? They are concerned. They're concerned that because we have students in our buildings who are autoimmune, they do have those autoimmune diseases, and their families are sending them to school. And so are we keeping those kids safe if we send somebody back to class? And the hard part for them is the symptoms are like symptoms that we've always seen in the past. Yes. That I had a nurse say to me today, if we could just go back to that's a headache and a runny nose, go back to class, take your peppermint, life would be good. But now you can't look at it like that.
Can't do it that way now.
No. Yeah. So it's very complicated, and all those symptoms run together, and they are, and they're just trying their best. They're doing a great job assessing, but they are stressed out just like everybody else.
And you mentioned autoimmune. So tell our listeners what autoimmune kind of students are.
Okay, so we have kids who if they, it's like being in a petri dish. It's like you get germs, your system is already beat down because of some type of disease, having cancer and going through chemo. We have those kids in our buildings as well. So when you have those kids who their immune systems are already down, anything that occurs, they pick it up. So we try to keep those kids very spread apart. The social distancing is really important for those kids. So,
and those kids, maybe even more than others, need a life back to normal just as much as they can get it.
Yes, and families need to be able to go to work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, sort of a pop question for either of you. What's your prediction on when things will be back to normal?
Wow. You have any answers for that?
No, I sure don't. My crystal ball doesn't go that far.
Yeah, and neither does ours. You know, we hear the rumors like so many people in the community that just wait till the election, this is going to go. Right. When the election rolls around, coronavirus is still going to be here.
It's still going to be here. This is a medical problem, not a political one.
No, so this is not something that's just going to go away. What I anticipate would be we're going to have to see a vaccine. This is just my opinion. I think you're probably going to have to see a vaccine at some point, but then people are going to have to be comfortable taking that vaccine. You know, we've had the flu vaccine for years, and we still, I mean, Melanie can speak to that in the numbers, and we see that it's very effective for those students and families who take the flu vaccine. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean you're not going to get the flu, but it's just going to be a milder strain. You're not sick as long.
But you still get resistance from some folks.
That's correct. But you know, we have our absentee numbers are better from those students who take the flu vaccine, and I think it would be the same with those with COVID. But this is going to be a community and a society thing. That getting back to normal, it's going to take at some point when our not just our community, but society in general says, we know how to manage this. Our medical community knows how to manage this. Our hospitals know how to manage this, and I feel like they're getting there. I mean, we hear good news from our hospital. They know how to manage this. We have a vaccine now. We have a treatment protocol. And when those things happen, I think we can return back to normal. And gosh, I'm ready. I'm ready for live athletics, live music, you know, those things.
Yes.
I was so happy to watch pro football live the other night.
I watched more games Sunday. And then the Titans game was so late we couldn't stay up for it.
Yeah.
You know?
The first thing I did the next morning was turn on to see if we won. And had a good outcome there. Well, this is Local Matters. We are talking about really important education matters, and we will take a quick break and then be back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Well, welcome back to Local Matters. We are talking to Melanie Bussell and Corby King from Putnam County Schools. What a month, what a 7 weeks you guys have had. And I know you've got students studying from home, studying in mixed media, and a lot in the coming in to attend every day. So tell us how this hybrid learning is working and what the different forms of it can be for a student.
Sure. And Dr. Bell, that's one that is still a struggle for us. I mean, we've learned a lot since last spring. We've learned a lot and we have gotten much better, but it's still a struggle. So when we talk about hybrid learning, remote learning, or the different situations, what we have, you know, if you're talking hybrid learning in some communities, that's students who are going like every other day or 2 days a week and staying at home and having a remote day. Our school board chose not to do that here, and I think a very wise decision, very difficult on a lot of families to do that. So we're going 5 days a week, but we gave families a choice. So what we have here is you have remote learning or you're in-person learning, and those who are remote, it's like a homeschool setting. But rather than just being homeschool and the parents choosing the curriculum like they normally would or using our Vital curriculum that we would use through a Florida virtual school or an Edgenuity program, and we would pay teachers a stipend because it's a very small number of students who do that. What we have arranged, because we have so many students in the remote learning, those students are tied to a classroom teacher that's here in our system. And so they're getting the same content that students would be getting in their classroom in person. But again, depending on the grade level and the challenges and the content, they're missing that classroom instruction piece that's very difficult. So teachers are putting the information, the assignments, and the research and the supports in their Google Classroom for students to access and families to access. So those doing remote learning would log in, get on the Google Classroom, do their schoolwork for the day, kind of like you're in a homeschool setting. But if you're in an elementary school where we were able to pull a few more teachers, you would have Zooms every, you know, half hour to an hour. You're Zooming with a teacher going through the reading blocks. And we've got some middle and high school teachers doing the same thing where they're Zooming with their students and you're getting that classroom instruction. They're using apps like Screencastify, and that's the one that always comes to mind.
I forget.
There's Loom. There's lots of different modalities that the teachers are using. But it's still a struggle, and it's still a learning process, and we're trying to get better each 9 weeks. One of the struggles we've had is pulling enough staff to support just the remote learners and then having enough still in school to cover our in-person learning. We don't have the funds to hire just a remote team. That would have been ideal if we could have done that, but it's just not possible. So we've had to, and finding certifications to do that also, very difficult to do, not just from the funds, but when you get to middle and high school, you have to have specialized certifications to teach those courses. So we can't just pull and find people and hire people to teach the remote learning, which is what would have been more of an ideal setup, and it would be a homeschool for the families. We've tried to do that using our existing resources, and again, that's created some challenges for our teachers. But we've got teachers who are doing very well. We've got families who are doing very well, and then we have those who are struggling. We started out the school year with around 2,000 students in remote learning. We have had several students who have been brought back by their principals because they're just struggling. They're not logging in. They're not getting the work done. They're just not working at all, really, with the teachers.
Right.
Some no fault of their own. They just don't have the capabilities, the structure and technology that we can get to them to where they can do that. And then we asked the board to set a deadline, and they understood that, thankfully, you know, to where you have to choose, you know, remote or in person for the full year. And that was met with a lot of angst in the community. And I get it, because things change. And I know it's hard for families to make a decision, but we need to set a consistent schedule for our students that they know this is going to be my teacher from now for the rest of the year. The teachers need to know these are going to be my students from now for the rest of the year. And I can assign some staff members to work just with those remote learners and better support them, and also for those who are in person. So that was the reason that we asked for that deadline to come about. Now, the board has since backed up and said, you know, we've heard from families. We will look at this in December, because a lot of things could change. We talked about that crystal ball earlier. Things can change in the community.
Things will change.
A vaccine, absolutely.
There's no doubt.
So if they do, the board's going to review this in December. And if it's changed enough, they think, you know, hey, we need to give families an option again, and that's something they'll consider at the semester break.
I guess that would be sort of like a student moving into town mid-year from another community.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we're trying to be, you know, family friendly with this, but also we have to take care of our teachers.
Yes, absolutely.
And what we're asking from them right now is just not sustainable. It's not something they continue to do.
Right.
So doing better remote learning, but still challenging, still got some work to do. And we're still, once we get the final, we have final numbers and schedules after that Friday, the 18th deadline, you know, our counselors and administrators right now are working on scheduling classes for coming back after fall break. So students hopefully will have a little better situation, and teachers will have a little better situation when we return from fall break.
Boy, it's got to be a challenge, though. This is Local Matters, and we are talking to Corby King and Melanie Bustle about the COVID effects on Putnam County Schools and on other things, too. Melanie and you both may want to talk about this, but the state has always insisted, the nation has always insisted, on some standardized testing at the end of the year.
Yes.
That was waived last year. Has that decision been made for this year at the national level?
I don't think it has. I think they're still discussing it.
It has not. And, you know, this is not something that our school board can waive. It's not something that the State Board of Education or even the State Department of Education can waive. In Tennessee, that takes legislative action. I know that our legislators are talking about it. Groups are talking to our legislators. Now, what will happen there, how that will go, I have no idea.
Right.
But I know I don't know how, from an accountability standpoint, with all the different structures that we have across the state. Not, you know, I'm just thinking of Putnam County with remote learning, in-person learning, and quarantine learning in Putnam. But we've got systems in the state, some who still haven't returned to school in person.
Right.
Some who are still doing hybrid. Some are doing 4 days a week at this grade level and no, you know, no at high school or middle school in person. It's just so different, 146 systems
really
across the state.
It's really a vegetable soup with a different letter in every county.
So I don't see how there's any way that you can gain any type of credible numbers for an accountability standpoint or how you can assess testing. In our system and in all systems, we are using our universal screeners. We're MAP testing. So we can identify learning gaps. We can see how our students are doing. We can get the structures our students need in place without having the state test. And this is an opportunity for the state to save quite a bit of money and say, you know, this year and all of it, testing's not a good idea. Let's just leave that alone and give teachers that break, not to have to worry about the state testing because we're doing it in our classrooms and the best we can now.
Yeah. Right.
Well, Melanie, I know parents are out there listening saying, I didn't sign up for this either.
No, they are saying that, I can assure you.
No, darling, I hate it for them. What kind of, other than sympathy, I know we can all give that, but what else can you say to parents about how they support their children during this really, really weird time?
Well, I do think I would like parents to know that it's not just it affects them academically, it affects them, you know, but mental health-wise, there are kiddos who are really struggling. Some kids are struggling in school. Some kids are struggling with the remote. Families are still trying to decide, do we stay home? But is that what's best for my child's mental health? They need those structures of going to school. They need to socialize. So the Student Services Department, we offer services for families and kids. If they need somebody to talk to, we can help set that up. We can look at different counseling sessions. We can look at groups. We can look at any of those things for our teachers and for our students and families. So I think I would like them to know that. I think parents are really confused on our dashboard, if I could speak to that. I think they look at our dashboard on the quarantine side, and it says zero cases at a school, but there's 50 kids quarantined. Well, that tells us those two really don't equate to school quarantine and kids who are, you know, or positives to quarantine. Those are actually, those 50 that are quarantined, it's because they have been exposed outside of school.
Right.
They've been exposed in the home in those ways that Corby had talked about earlier. So if parents call me all the time, your dashboard is incorrect. You have the most incorrect information. It doesn't even make sense. So they're trying to put those two numbers together, right, but it's two totally different things.
Because they can be exposed at
other places.
Or many other places.
Yes, absolutely.
What would you say to students? They've got to have patience. They've got to keep right on trucking, and I know they will. But what would you say in closing to your students?
Just keep working with, talking to your teachers. What do you know, let them know what they need. You know, our students are such an important voice here. Talk to your teachers. If you need more support, more help, more just patience, again, talk to the teachers. Let them know where you are as a student and let them know what you need. And I think that's a big piece. And not only I'll talk to them, you know, from the social emotional side, that's such a big piece for our students, especially those middle and high school students.
And I just want to thank them. Yeah. If they are listening, I want to thank them because do you know what? They have came into school.
Absolutely.
They have followed every mask mandate there is. They are not taking them off. We are not having discipline issues. They are, when you walk in, they're going. And if they didn't have mask on, you wouldn't know that anything is going on. They're social distancing. They're doing what they always did. And they seem very happy to be back. And they want to be there.
Yeah.
And so I would just thank them for coming in and following all of the protocols and helping us stay in school. Nobody thought we would be here this morning.
Absolutely. No. Our students are really handling this better than the adults.
Better than the adults. Yeah, I think that's
both from
true
parents and teachers.
Yeah, I think all of us think that we just got to get beyond this. And
yes,
the students, it's just okay, this is the drill for right now.
Yes.
So that's good. Well, it has been a pleasure to have you on the program, and on behalf of Putnam County, I want to thank you for all the great work you're doing. I know it's been tough and will continue to be tough. So please hang in there, and We'll get you back in a couple of months and talk again about how this...
Hopefully about something besides COVID.
Yeah. Corby and I were talking coming in about whitewater rafting and how this is sort of like running through the rapids.
That would be a much more fun topic.
It would be a much more fun topic. We'll have to talk about that next time. Thank you both. It's been an honor to have you, and thanks for your good work.
Thank you, Dr. Bell.